Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, on this beautiful Lord's Day. We are so glad that all of you were able to join us as we worship our God together in this good place this morning. And everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed a bit later in this service. If you happen to be a guest, a visitor among us, we especially look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better at worship's end. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? We come to hear the word of the Lord today and to gather as God's people. The good news of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We come to worship the Lord today, who loves us through all of life, no matter what.
And let us pray together. God of all good gifts, we come together this morning acknowledging that your generosity towards us knows no bounds. Even before we are aware of what we need, you know and work to make your goodness known. You invite us into community and provide for us out of your relentless love. You give us nourishment for our bodies and safety and protection. You offer your comfort and your peace when we feel alone, and your grace when we do not act as the people you created us to be. We know that you ask for us to respond to your great love by working for justice for all and seeking comfort, love, and protection for all. as you continue to be our God. Help us to strive to be your people in all the ways you know we can be. As we worship you, may we do so with all these things in mind and in the way of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you join with me as together we affirm our faith? We believe in the Creator, compassionate and wise, who shapes the world and all that is in it, who gives life and cradles it lovingly. We believe in the Redeemer, righteous and just, who liberates all people from tyranny and sin, who calls us to repentance and offers forgiveness. We believe in the Sustainer, comforting and near, who transforms the lives of God's people, who nurtures faith and evokes commitment. We believe in God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, who calls us to be a community of love and grace, and who wills that God's children live together in peace. Good morning, ladies. Since it's time for you all to go back to school, I have a science question for you. Who can tell me who invented the telephone? Do you know? You know, Madeline? Nope. Nobody knows? Well, in school one day, you will learn, or if you ask most anybody else, they probably could tell you that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. And I don't mean a cell phone. He didn't do that. And I brought you a kind of old phone here. And see, it's really old. And you used to have to dial the numbers like this. And you used to have to hold this to talk and listen. And it was connected by wires. So you had to sit in one place if you wanted to talk on the phone, and you couldn't take it with you. Hold on just one second. You couldn't take it with you, and it had to be connected to the wall. And it didn't, the first phones, his phone didn't look like this. This is a little bit older than our cell phones, but his phone looked a whole lot different than that. So it was a really important invention, though, because he allowed us to be able to communicate with each other, to talk to each other when we were long distances apart. Now, one thing you have to do when you have an invention is you have to go to a place called the patent office. And what you do is you write your name on a piece of paper, and you write down your invention and your idea, and that's called a patent. And you turn it in so that it says, this was my idea. I came up with this idea first before anybody else. So lots of people will tell you that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. What a lot of people don't know is that what happened on the very same day that Alexander Graham Bell went to the patent office, 1 hour before he did that, another man named Elisha Gray had gone to a patent office, and he had taken an invention very similar to the telephone, and he had written it down, and he had said, this is my idea. And after years and years and years of people trying to decide who would get the first patent, they gave it to Alexander Graham Bell. But Elisha Gray and lots of other people before Mr. Bell worked on a telephone. And they worked on wires. And they worked on things that helped you hear. And they worked on things that you could talk into. Yeah, kind of. They worked on all different kinds of machines. And even Mr. Bell, he tried probably hundreds, maybe even thousands. Y'all hold on for a second. Maybe even thousands of times before he got it right. Do you think he got it right on the first try? No, it took him forever to work to create a phone. And it took Elisha Gray forever. It is heavy. It took lots of people a lot of tries to make that work. And what we might call those two men and all the people who worked on that is a word called persistent. Do you all know what that word is? What does it mean? Very good, Madeline. Yes, ma'am. It means you never, ever stop trying. It means you try and you try and you try and you try until you get it right. And it means even if it's hard, or even if it takes a lot of work, even if you fail 1,000 times, you keep trying until you get it right. What was the word again?
Persistent.
Persistent. Very good. Y'all hold on. I'll get your questions, I promise. We're reading today in Hebrews. And it reminds us that a lot of times in life, hold on, we have to be persistent. It's about sticking with something, even if it's hard, or even if it takes us lots and lots of tries to get it right. That what we're reading in Hebrews talks about the Israelites who were led out of Egypt by Moses. And it talks about prophets who had to tell people some really hard things. It talks about things that people did for God when they were laughed at, or made fun of, or got hurt, kind of like the people we learned about in Bible school. All of those people did really big, important things because they knew it was what God wanted them to do, even though some of them got in big trouble, didn't they? And some of them got hurt, but they kept going. They were persistent because they knew that it was important. That's right. Persistence also means you need to be patient. That's very good. So one of the things that we can remember from Hebrews, hold on, that we're reading today, is that God asks us to keep trying. It might be hard, and it might not be popular. It might not be what everybody else is doing, but if it's what God wants us to do, then that's what we should try to do, right? We're supposed to be persistent. 1 second. All right, can you all pray with me? God, we know that you are a God who loves us. We pray that you help us to be strong and to be persistent when it comes to following you and doing what you want us to do in the world and for your people. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
First lesson is from Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in a very fertile hill. He digged it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do in my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and the men of Judah and his pleasant planting. and he looked out for justice. But behold, bloodshed for righteousness. But behold, a cry. Here ends the first lesson.
Our second lesson this morning is from the book of Hebrews, beginning in the 11th chapter with verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Luke chapter 12 and beginning to read at verse 49. Words of Jesus. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three, and they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the written word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you have been watching any of the opening events related to the Summer Olympic Games from Rio de Janeiro this week, you, along with millions of other people around the world, have been struck by all of the high drama that attends to that level of athletic competition. There have been the personal stories of triumph, like the American women's gymnastic team absolutely running away from the competition, and Michael Phelps extending his unprecedented record of gold medals in men's swimming. And bright new stars like gymnast Simone Biles and swimmers Simone Manuel and Katie Ledecky. But there were also stories of failure and disappointment, as there always seemed to be. Environmental concerns that Rio's Guanabara Bay is too contaminated with raw sewage for the sailing and open swimming events. The U.S. women's soccer team's stunning loss to Sweden. The inability of U.S. swimmer Missy Franklin to capture any of the expected individual medals. And disgusting green algae. Did you see that? Disgusting green algae taking over the Olympic diving pool. Oh. And as the games proceed over the next week, you can be sure that there will be several more examples where the expectations exceeded the actual results. In the passage which forms our Old Testament lesson for today, the young prophet Isaiah is voicing a similar lament on the part of God. As far as we can tell, this is the very first occasion when Isaiah speaks for God, coming as it does even before Isaiah's calling to be a prophet in chapter 6. What Isaiah has to say takes the form of a Hebrew love poem. He speaks on behalf of his beloved, who has planted a vineyard of choice vines on fertile soil, tended and watered it, and watched over it with care. He expected it to yield grapes, but instead, it produced wild grapes. Then, beginning in verse 3, Isaiah switches his role to the owner of the vineyard and addresses the audience directly. Then he asked that they judge between me and my vineyard, that is, to determine which of the two is guilty of this colossal failure. It's a strange little poem or song which would have turned its original audience into a kind of grand jury, forced to decide between the vineyard, on the one hand, representing the nation, and the owner of the vineyard, on the other hand, representing God. Of course, there can be but one answer to the question, namely, that the nation has failed to live up to the standard God established and is therefore guilty as charged. Now, Old Testament scholars have long noted that the closest parallel to this little allegory is the story of the prophet Nathan's confrontation of King David in the parable of the ewe lamb. You may remember that it was after King David had taken Bathsheba in adultery and had her husband Uriah killed that Nathan comes to David with the tale of a rich man who has stolen a poor man's favorite lamb. David responds in great anger against this criminal, and when he pronounces judgment upon him, Nathan says, "But you are the man. You're the man." In a similar way, Isaiah's song of the vineyard here is directed at the accused who hear a parallel story that leads them to pronounce judgment upon themselves as well as their nation. There is no missing the fact. They are the wild grapes who failed to live up to their potential, not the good ones that God hoped to see. Now, lest you think that such disappointment on the part of God falls merely upon nations and groups of people, think again. That is because Isaiah's song of the vineyard has an equally strong message to each and every person concerning gifts and blessing and really making the most out of the life that God gave you and intended for you. About this time of year, we witness that annual rite of returning to school on the part of students of all ages, and that goes from the youngest preschooler to the oldest graduate student. The teachers and the administrators have already done their work of preparation, and so now it falls to the students to make the most of their opportunity. The soil is good. The land has been cleared of all opposition. Every advantage has been given to those choice young plants. And yet, in spite of all this, nothing is a sure thing when it comes to the human condition. Sometimes the outcome is all that it's desired to be, and at other times it seems as though it's less than the complete success that was envisioned. Martin Marty, in a column not long ago, which appeared in the Christian Century, writes about the self-centeredness that pervades so much of our culture these days, and does so by means of an actual advertisement placed in a community newspaper by the attention-seeking family of a recent high school graduate. Now, the names here have been changed as a courtesy, you will understand, to the family involved. But otherwise, this is how the advertisement actually read in that newspaper. "Congratulations, Margaret Stanford, on being valedictorian of Murphyville High School. From your parents, Doctors John and Thelma Stanford and Sister Mary Ellen. What is Margaret going to be? Answer: double majoring to be a doctor. This fall, going to Central State University, attending Warren Beecher Honors Science College. 1 out of 10 students accepted into medical school from high school. Margaret's graduation gifts include new 3-level condo overlooking Lake Watertown in Harper, new Lexus RX 300, sapphire colored, navigation, fully loaded, Hawaiian party deluxe, catered and decorated, trip to Rhodes, Greece, this summer for 1 month with full wardrobe, surprise gift. It goes on. Up-to-date achievements don't include scholarships and school awards, which will be given the first week in June. Valedictorian of her class, A-plus average throughout high school, all A's. Top 20 academic students, NCTL, Southwestern Digital League. Top 50 of academic students in Sioux County, A-plus Academy of Excellence, Huron County. Mensa, top 2% of intelligence in the entire world. Daughters of American Revolution Good Citizen Award and Penn, third place over several counties. Murphyville Science Fair, Blue Ribbon, first place 3 times. National Honor Society, all 4 years. National Honor Society President, this year. Student Council Secretary, junior year. All A Award Honor Roll, past 5 years. Central State University Valedictorian Scholarship, Tri-County Honors Band Award, etc., 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 etc. A lot of grapes here, but most of them wild. Now, the reader who clipped that actual advertisement and sent it to Martin Marty noted, not one word of gratitude to their daughter's teachers or to the Murphyville community. He thought of the damage done by this chest-thumping egotism of obviously gifted parents publicly gloating over the accomplishments of their gifted daughter and announcing lavish materialistic awards and provisions. How can she identify as a physician with her peers in school or hospital or patients who live in circumstances of poverty or modest means and struggle to keep soul and body together from day to day? How can she possibly understand their brokenness and pain so as to empathize and help them find healing? So, to compensate, Martin Marty says, we then need to lift a glass and toast some people. The helpful teachers at Margaret's High School. The coaches who must have had something to do with her winning. The second place winners in every event in which she triumphed. Those who consoled the losers. Those who noticed that slower learners also have their place in the human economy. Those who exemplify virtues such as humility. Those whose parents cannot afford the Lexus and the condo, or even an advertisement in the newspaper thanking God for their children's gifts. And let us praise those who teach communities about the stewardship of gifts for others. I think we all know it, but it's worth reminding ourselves. Learning to make a living is not at all the same thing as learning to make a life. In spite of fabulous blessings and incredible gifts, sometimes what comes out of the vineyard of our lives is wild grapes instead of good ones. When that is the case, I think it must be a supreme disappointment to our God. And that, by the way, applies to nations and individuals and, yes, even churches. God wants all of us to live up to our full potential. The promise of the gospel, though, is that we can have a second chance, an option on forgiveness and redemption, another opportunity to make the most of our good planting and to bear the best kind of fruit in our lives. Christians believe that opportunity comes through faith in Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross makes it possible for us to be forgiven of our considerable sins and to be cleansed from all our unrighteousness. And by the example of his life, we are shown what it means to be truly human and to live out our lives in such a way that our actions live up to what God hoped for when we were created. That, my friends, is good news. In fact, it is the very good news of our God. So let's be grateful for it. And let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. You have filled up our lives with gifts of grace more than we can number. Help us by your Holy Spirit never, ever to take our blessings for granted or to squander our gifts, but instead to use all of them for your glory. Enable us to draw strength and life from Jesus Christ, who is our true vine, and to bear the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives this day and every day yet to come. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we pray this morning for the fulfillment of all of God's promises in our own time. First, praying silently, and then by offering the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. O God, we pray for your church in the world. Make us bold to proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ, who endured the cross for our sake, and who now sits at the right hand of your throne. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for the world for which Jesus died. Show your mercy and justice to all the nations. Defend the weak and the powerless. Lift up the lowly and the destitute. Remember all who suffer and hurt this day. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for this, our community of faith. Restore the vineyard you have planted. Let it not be trampled down, but grow up to bear good fruit. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we pray for loved ones near at hand as well as those far away. Protect them with your powerful hand. Give life to those who call on your name. Let your face shine and save them all. Especially this day, we would pray for Janet and Phyllis, and Betty, as well as all others who need your help. Lord, in your mercy. O God, strengthen us to run the race that is set before us, laying aside the heavy burdens of sin and death, and following the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, even Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
In so many ways, we have the opportunity to participate with God in the care of God's people. One of those ways is through what we give this morning. May our love of God lead us to give generously for the sake of those who need our help. Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you faithfully lead us and all of your people through the world. We praise you for your tireless acts of grace and generosity, even when we have turned away from your face. By your grace, we pray that you would nurture and strengthen us so that we are more prepared to give and provide for others. We give these gifts and ourselves this morning for the sake of the world you see, and pray that we might work to make it so. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now. What better day than today to decide in your heart to become all of the person that God intended for you to be? If this morning that would include professing faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or coming to express your desire to unite with his church, which meets in this place, as we sing the hymn and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday, it is our great joy to welcome those who worship as guests at First Baptist Church, and today is no exception. If you are a visitor among us, know how important you are to us, and do give our people an opportunity to greet you following the service. They would like very much to do that. Quickly, by way of announcement, our midweek gathering for the month of August will take place on Wednesday night of this week with a fellowship meal in Lewis Hall beginning at 5:30 p.m. Following dinner, our children will be presenting a program on their many recent experiences at Vacation Bible School. And I'm told the adult choir will also meet at 7 o'clock. So do join us for what promises to be a very enjoyable evening together. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction, and then following the prayer, stand to sing the congregational response. Let us pray. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who make the journey with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God, who made us, who loves us, and who travels with us, be with you, now and forever. Amen.